Since 1997, at the very age of 14, she started her devotional life. She has done her graduation in biotechnology and micrology. And presently, she is working as a counselor in our temple. So, before we move to our topic, there is a beautiful drama which our Chetna community people are going to present in front of you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. We take you back to 7.
So everyone's wondering what the talk is going to be about. To begin with, let's understand what the word paradox means. Right? So the definition of the word paradox is some statement or a concept that has conflicting ideas. In logic, paradox is a statement that contradicts itself. For example, the statement, "I never speak the truth," is a paradox. Do you all understand? "I never speak the truth," if I say, means what I just said is not true. So such is an example of a paradox. In everyday language, paradox also means an absurd situation which is contradictory, but it is nevertheless true. One example is right in front of you, that despite so many wonderful speakers in this audience, I am sitting here to give a lecture. That's a paradox. In the drama we just saw, which was a very wonderful performance, the character Alexander, as we saw, was a very puffed up sailor. He was cast away on an uninhabited island. Nobody around, not a single soul to talk to, nobody to relate to, develop friendship with, nothing. Yet he thought he was the king. Right? A king generally has subjects. Right? But on an island where there is no one, still he thought, he was so proud that he thought he was the monarch. He wrote a very nice poem which goes like this. I'll just say first few lines. He wrote, "I am the monarch of all I survey. My right, there is no one to dispute. From the center all around to the sea, I am the lord of the fowl and the brute." So we see that how, despite such a contradictory situation in life, he thought himself to be a perfect king. In the world that we live in today, competition is a natural way of life. People are not inclined or very less inclined to cooperate. Every individual wants to be perfect, is looking for a perfect friend, is looking for a perfect husband or a wife, but everyone is faced with limitations. I came across a story, a very nice story, of a man who was looking for a perfect wife. So he was talking to a friend and he was saying that, "I had been looking for a perfect woman to be my wife. What were the qualities he was looking for? She should be kind, she should be loving, she should be beautiful, and she should be spiritually inclined." So the friend asked, "Oh, so did you find such a girl?" He said, "Yes, I found one." But then he said the marriage didn't take place. So the friend asked, "Why?" "Because this girl was so spiritually inclined that she didn't have any taste for practical aspects of material life. So I thought this is not a perfect lady for my wife." So the search went on, and after a few months he came across another lady who he thought was perfect. She was kind, she was beautiful, she was loving, she was spiritually inclined, but she was also practical in material affairs. So he thought, "Wow, finally I found one lady who is a perfect match for me." So the friend asked, "Oh, so finally you got married?" So he said, "No, I didn't get married to her." "Why?" "Because she was so practical that she actually didn't need me at all. So then I thought I should wait." Finally, after many years, he came across a lady who he thought was perfect. She was kind, she was loving, she was beautiful, she was spiritually inclined, also practical, very intelligent. And so he thought, finally I got one perfect wife. So the friend asked, finally you got married? So this friend said, no, I didn't get married. So he asked, why? What happened? So he said, because that lady was also looking for a perfect husband. So yes, we see that everybody is looking for perfection. Perfect, you know, sense of perfection in what they do. But there is limitations around us. We'll see some examples from history and from contemporary times and try to understand different principles concerning perfection. First aspect to the principle of perfection is that this material world is a place of relative perfection. There is no scope for absolute perfection. In this world, on a material platform, everybody cannot be perfect at the same time. A win-win situation cannot happen. Now, a perfect symbol to represent this is a seesaw. All of us as children have played on a seesaw, right? So we know that when one person goes up, the other person has to go down. And as soon as the other person comes up, the other person has to go down, right? So let us see, we can understand this scenario with the swine flu. Everybody is talking about the swine flu. So on one hand, there are people who are suffering, who are dying of swine flu, and the others are petrified with just the thought of swine flu. But on the other hand, researchers are being given such crores of rupees, and doctors are flourishing in their business. So we see that one person's perfection is at the cost of the other person's downfall. This is the material world. In fact, my husband had been working for IBM Research. The kind of projects that such corporates take up is so, it's a paradox in itself, because they take up projects, they employ researchers to produce products, to automate things, so that they can eliminate other workers, other employees. Right? So we see one person is working for the other people who can be eliminated from their jobs. So this is happening all around the world now. So in general, we see that most people are having vested interests. Trust is, the trustworthiness is gradually declining. And those people who do have good intentions, they are often met with a non-cooperative government or non-cooperative organizations. There was a very nice story that I came across, the story of the lion and the goat. Very interesting. So once there was a mother goat and a child goat who went in search of food. Now, they forgot their way back home and therefore they got lost. And lo and behold, of all people, they met with a lion. So the mother goat and the child goat were petrified, as is expected, and thought that they'll be devoured very soon. But then, to their surprise, the lion goat came to them. He patted on the child goat's head and said, "Don't worry, I'll not do anything to you." And then he told the mother goat, "You are my sister. Consider me as your elder brother." And then the lion goat gave the child goat a lot of biscuits and nice things to eat. And then told the mother goat, "Come with your husband to my house and we'll celebrate Raksha Bandhan." And then finally he said, the lion came back giving a message to the goat that if anybody is after you, just inform me and I'll be there to protect you. Finally the lion went after giving a very sweet smile. And then after the lion went, the mother goat said to the child goat, "I think elections are coming." So we see that how people who do want to do good, sometimes they may not have good motivations. And often we are cheated, right? We lose faith. So this is the world around us. So there are two kinds of people in this world. One category are people who do all the work. Second category of people are the ones who take the credit. So there is a saying which goes like, be in the first category because there is less competition. So there are most people want the credit and not do the work. That was the first aspect. Second aspect is how sense of perfection is perceived based on the level of consciousness of the individual. We'll see some examples from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Everybody knows the story of Dhruva Maharaj. Everyone knows? Dhruva Maharaj was a prince who was at the age of 5 was insulted by his stepmother. And he went out in search of, originally not in search of God. He had a very big material ambition to seek a kingdom that was bigger than his great-grandfather. That was Brahmaji. So he set out with a completely materialistic ambition. But eventually, as we know, that he got to have darshan of the Supreme Lord and he got purified of all his material desires. So much that he considered these desires as broken pieces of glass. The paradox in this story is that to start with, Dhruva Maharaj had material ambition. Eventually, he was purified of all material ambition. But at the end, nevertheless, he was given a kingdom by the Lord and was told to serve as a king. The paradox is, when Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom, desired a kingdom, he didn't have a kingdom. But when he did not desire at all for a kingdom, he was given a kingdom, but he achieved perfection by ruling as a devoted king, because he rendered his duties as a king as a service to the Lord. So it was a paradox. At the same time, he achieved perfection. Now in this audience, most of us are young. Let me ask a question. How many of us will be ready instantly to give up our youth in exchange for old age? Please raise your hands. We cannot imagine. Now, we feel at this age that youth will last forever. Right? Now, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a story of Maharaj Yayati. Yayati was a very powerful king and he was married to the daughter of Shukracharya by the name Devayani. Now, due to a mistake, he was cursed by Shukracharya that he will lose his youth instantly and become an old man. So Maharaj Yayati fell at the feet of Shukracharya and asked, "Please, I have not yet sufficiently enjoyed life. Please don't give me old age so soon." So Shukracharya told Maharaj Yayati that if someone is ready to exchange his youth with your old age, you will regain your youth back. So now Maharaj Yayati went in search of a person who will be willing to give away his youth and accept his old age in return. He had 5 sons. So the eldest son, Yadu, he said that when Maharaj Yayati, jinko bhi pravachan Hindi mein sunna hai, wo piche ja sakte hain, Kalini Mataji translate kar rahe hain. So when Maharaj Yayati asked his eldest son Yadu, what was the reply Yadu gave? He said, "My dear father, you have achieved your old age, although you were a young man. I have not sufficiently enjoyed my life, so I don't want to exchange my youth with your old age." And like this, all his sons said that we are not ready to do this sacrifice. But finally, the youngest son by the name Puru was so noble. He said, "What a good fortune I have to serve my father. As such, youth is so flickering. Someday or the other, I have to become old. So I don't mind, father, giving away my youth in exchange for your old age." So here we see how Maharaj Yayati's sense of perfection was to enjoy life completely. But Puru's sense of perfection was to give away his material happiness for the sake of his father. So we see, based on the level of consciousness, a sense of perfection keeps changing. The third aspect to the principle of perfection is that material perfection is completely diametrically opposite to spiritual perfection. What this means is that material sense of perfection is seen when one is trying to satisfy his own desires, personal sense gratification. But spiritual sense of perfection comes when we try to give pleasure to God and his devotees. We'll understand this concept by going through a nice story, a story of a carpenter. There was once a carpenter who was very good at his work. He used to build very nice, fabulous houses. One fine day he decided he has to retire. Right? So he told his employer that, "My dear sir, I have to leave now. I'm giving away my job and I want to retire and spend the rest of my life peacefully." So the employer said, "Oh, I'll miss your workmanship. You were such a talented carpenter. But as a personal favor, please build one last house." Now this carpenter was not happy with this request. Nevertheless, with whatever little interest he had, he started building the house. Gradually, it was seen that he was losing interest. He was using very poor materials for building the house, and he was using cheap things. He didn't give his heart at all for this work, for the last house. Eventually, the house that he built was so substandard and very of poor quality. So finally the house was built, and the employer came to see, and the employer said, "Oh, very nice, you finished your work, but here is the key to this house. This was my parting gift for your career." So we see that this carpenter, when he was doing things for himself, he was giving his best. But when he was doing this for his master, which he thought, we didn't know that this house was belonging to him. Had he known that this house was to be for him, he would have done so much more better, right? So this is sense of material perfection in the sense, when it comes to doing for ourselves, we give our best. But when it comes to doing for others, we may not give our best. But in the case of spiritual perfection, those who are spiritually inclined often feel great happiness in trying to see others happy. There is a nice pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Prithu Maharaj and Indra. Prithu Maharaj was a great king, very devoted king, and he had an ambition to conduct 100 Ashwamedha Yagya. What was his purpose? The purpose was solely to please his subjects and bring good fortune to all the residents of his kingdom. But as the story goes, Indra became envious and he wanted to stop the 100th Ashwamedha Yagya. And therefore he stole the horse. Now Indra did all he can to stop the sacrifice. And finally, Lord Vishnu himself came and instructed Prithu Maharaj. He told him that, "What is the use of fighting like this? You are a devotee, right? You have to set an example. So give away this envy and resolve to not conduct the Ashwamedha Yagya." So we see Indra's sense of perfection was to see that Prithu Maharaj doesn't succeed in his work. But Prithu Maharaj, he knew that he will bring utmost happiness to the Lord by not doing the 100th Ashwamedha Yagya. It is not easy. It is so difficult to give up things that are so dear to us, right? For the pleasure of others. But Prithu Maharaj exemplified that by giving away his ambition of doing the Ashwamedha Yagya, he knew very well that it will please the Lord. So this is the spiritual sense of perfection. Seeing others happy, bringing glory to others, gives us a sense of perfection. This was exemplified by Prithu Maharaj. The fourth aspect to the principle of perfection is that on a spiritual platform, perfections can coexist. Right? What does this mean? By spiritual platform, I mean when we are connected to Krishna, connected to God. Spiritual perfection can coexist. Many people can be perfect at the same time. Now, in contrast to the example of the seesaw, where we see that one person goes up at the cost of the other person going down. But spiritual perfection is completely opposite. Many people can be at the same platform of perfection and still be happy, right? Now, there is a very beautiful description of the kingdom of God in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is explained how so many types of birds are singing in their own way the glories of the Lord, singing praises of the Lord. So we have the parrots, the pigeons, the cuckoo bird, the partridge, the peacocks, and all the other birds. They are all singing in unison, trying to sing about the glories of the Lord. But what a beautiful scene this is, that when the bumblebee starts humming, all the other birds keep quiet. What does this mean? This means that each of these birds find great pleasure in allowing the bumblebee to sing for the pleasure of the Lord. Now, my dear friends, most of us like the sweet singing of the cuckoo bird, right? Now, is it the perfection of the cuckoo bird that although it sings so well, it is keeping quiet? On a spiritual platform, yes. Why? Because it sees that the Lord will be getting more pleasure when the bumblebee is singing. So this is a spiritual platform. All the other birds in their individual capacity are bringing glory to the Lord, and therefore they are perfect individually. But collectively, when they allow the bumblebee to be prominent in the chorus, that is also a perfection. Similarly, in the spiritual world, in the same description, there are so many flowers, the malati, the champaka flower, and so many other flowers, which are all emanating their own beautiful fragrances for the pleasure of the Lord. But